This episode is brought to you by Forney Industries, official sponsor of Faction 46 and Nice Motorsports Truck Series teams. Forney offers versatile welding and plasma cutting machines, along with a full line of metalworking accessories for beginners, do-it-yourselfers, and professionals. Forney has everything you need for your next metalworking project. Shop for these top-of-the-line products at ForneyIND.com, that's ForneyIND.com, or at an authorized Forney dealer near you.
Hey there, NASCAR fans. Have you got your copy of the latest edition of NASCAR Pole Position Print Magazine? If not, there's no better time than now to subscribe at PolePositionMag.com. NASCAR Pole Position is the only print magazine covering NASCAR. Officially licensed by NASCAR, NASCAR Pole Position Magazine is published throughout the NASCAR season, and each edition is an instant collector's item, packed with great feature stories and photography. The magazine is even mailed to you in a poly bag for those who love to collect NASCAR memorabilia. At PolePositionMag.com, you can even find past issues available to purchase. Get your subscription to NASCAR Pole Position and get great NASCAR content delivered straight to your mailbox throughout the season. Learn more at PolePositionMag.com. That's PolePositionMag.com.
Hey y'all, Rick Houston here, and I want to tell you about my new show, the Moonshine and Motorsports Racing Podcast. I've partnered up with the State of North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources to help uncover the history behind moonshining mountain boys, professional wheelmen, and the backwoods and city lights of the Tar Heel State. In the first episode, I sat down with Winston Kelly at the NASCAR Hall of Fame for a little behind-the-scenes gossip about Junior Johnson's engineering skills.
He's got two things in his hand, pipe wrench and channel lock pliers. And they weren't new. They had been around the block a time or two.
Wasn't the first steel they built, I bet.
No. The pliers had been red before, but paint had worn off.
And in the second episode, I talked to a professional hillbilly, a.k.a. Dr. Daniel Pierce, of UNC Asheville, to find out the real history of moonshiners and their battles with the revenuers.
He wrote about one of his experiences of trying to chase down this bootlegger and this souped up car, and he complained that the government gave him these piece of crap, cheapo cars, and that were really no match, but he thought he was doing pretty good, and then the guy just hits it and just takes off and practically disappeared. But then the guy makes a bootleg turn and comes back towards him. And it, as he said, it was a game of chicken, and I was the chicken. And so he ran off the road. And actually, he was the guy who caught Junior Johnson at his daddy's still when Junior got tangled up in a barbed wire fence.
So check out the Moonshine and Motorsports Racing Podcast, available on YouTube, DailyDownforce.com, and all of your favorite podcasting platforms. And be sure to check out my regular show on NASCAR history, the Scene Bought Podcast.
That's from Ron tonight. Go get us a W.
Hell yeah.
Ready.
Green.
What the
f***? Copy. Right foot down. We had to go flat. Unbelievable, man. Way to keep your head in this. Holy
oh, boy.
I'm done with it.
Fix your face.
Set
sail.
Steve, you look beautiful. You look great.
That was ridiculous,
dude.
Holy.
You see this?
Holy cow.
Good job, man.
Two times, baby. Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of NWP. Let's get straight into some hot takes to start us off.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Danny B. So since we had no, racing last weekend and stuff, well, no NASCAR racing, it left me with a lot of free time on my hands. And you know what? I just realized something. Cars 2 actually isn't that bad of a movie. It's not that bad. You know, I watched it for only the third time ever in my life, and I was like, you know what? Okay, there's not really any real racing storylines really. Like, you know, it's mostly with the whole spy action and stuff like that. But I gotta say, I was thoroughly entertained. Now, It is the worst movie out of the three, without a doubt. But, you know, after watching it again, I was like, you know what? This is okay. It's okay. So that's my hot take.
You can tell it's an off week when our hot takes are Pixar movies. Am I next, Danny? I think I'm second.
Yes, Eric is second.
I was going to talk about the fact that Ally is apparently not running an exclusive scheme for the Ally 400. I am devastated because the past 2 years, they have been freaking intense. This year, I'm sorry, Danny, I'm really not a fan of the nighttime version of his scheme this year, so I'm disappointed, but that's not what my hot take is about. This may be a fan favorite, but I think it is hot. Carl Edwards will run another NASCAR race before he croaks. I don't know. I don't know if y'all saw this, but he's going to be at Nashville this weekend. The track is honoring him. He won there, I think, like 6 times. You know, Concrete Carl, we know how great he was in the Busch Series at Nashville Super Speedway. But this will be his second public appearance in just a couple of months. When was the last time Carl Edwards went outside once a year, let alone twice in like one spring, one summer?
And we're going to see both of them, by the way.
It's because of us.
It's because of us.
Yeah.
But I remember something.
Carl Edwards confirmed running the NWP car.
But I remember something Dale Jr. said on his podcast when he talked to Carl Edwards, is that, you know, he kind of thinks that the closer Carl gets to NASCAR, the stronger that itch will be to come back. So the fact that this is 2 appearances, he even said after Darlington, Carl said that he was surprised by the fan reaction, the support. Keep in mind, he also toured Trackhouse earlier this year. I don't think he's necessarily going to run Project 91. If I had to guess, I don't think Edwards runs a cup race. But I do believe Carl Edwards will race in NASCAR again. I would be shocked if he doesn't. He's just getting too close to the action.
By the way, you were talking about this diecast.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh,
beautiful.
Come on, Ally. We need that. We need more.
Gorgeous. I got plenty of props for tonight.
I guess they just say that nighttime car doesn't get to run enough, so they just run it when they can.
That's a good point, actually.
Well, my hot take. So I want to preface this. There are tons of amazing content creators and YouTubers on this platform that do not have a huge audience. And one who I think deserves one is NBR. Makes awesome stuff. Have you seen his chase videos? Well, being the off weekend, if you're someone who makes YouTube videos on here, you know that this is honestly an opportunity to make stuff you normally wouldn't have the opportunity to make. And he talked about the Daytona 500. My hot take is that I agree with him. And it has nothing to do with the summer. I just got to say, I think the Daytona 500 does have a problem. And I think it is turning into just another race. It is not feeling as prestigious as it once used to. And I think that the points he made in his video about how basically every race ends either under caution or under a ton of different restarts and crashes and taking out cars that don't need to be taken out, I think he's 100% right. And I think that until either NASCAR or driver etiquette in some way changes, the Daytona 500 will only deteriorate in how big of a race it is. Mm-hmm. So my hot take is, yes, I think the Daytona 500 has a huge problem. And we are, 8 months away from the other one? It's never too early to talk about the Daytona 500.
Yeah, but no, NBR, he's, oh, I love his channel. I love his channel.
Yeah.
So on that note, if Jared gets to talk about other channels that he likes, I'm going to talk about other channels that I like too, that I think is very underrated and some of y'all need to go check out. Since we had an off week, got to really talk about other things. If y'all know, I haven't been posting as much. And the fact of the matter is, I post daily on a bigger channel. I'm not talking about that one, but I'm talking about someone that I like to watch a lot while editing stuff for this big channel and just in my spare time. I've been going on a binge of watching a very underrated guy from the OCRP community. A lot of you guys know Jeff Fabiano. He helped start all that. Guy named Old Man Beardface. He's literally just an older guy, probably in his like 50s or 60s, but he's very chill. If you want a chill streamer to go check out, go check him out. I was in his streamed the other day and I saw someone on Twitter was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Danny B. Talks just randomly in that guy's live stream. It's like, yeah, he's pretty cool. So go check out Old Man Beardface. That's my hot take.
Just to check out our YouTube channel.
Spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been the off week, everybody.
Yeah, I think I won this one, though. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know. Carl Edwards coming back? I don't know. I think
Daytona 500 not
to me
being important as it used to be.
Well, you said as important.
Hey, I said cars 2 wasn't as bad. So, oh, look at that. 69%.
I mean, I agree with you. Pixar has never made a bad movie. They've just made underwhelming movies. And Cars.
Wait. They never made a bad movie.
I don't think Pixar has ever made a bad movie.
Wait, didn't they make Mars versus Moms or something?
No,
like that?
That was not Pixar. I don't know.
Okay. Sorry.
Wasn't that a Seth Green movie?
I don't know. Okay, so it wasn't
Pixar. Weren't they the ones who made Sausage Party? I'm pretty sure that was Pixar.
Oh my god, my dad took my brother and I to see that, and while I was enough, my brother was not. He was like, I just wanted to sink into the wall.
I can imagine.
And in the last 5 minutes, we'll keep it like that.
Hold on. I like this guy's summary of all of our hot takes. Triple P Productions. Darian, Cars 2 is good. Eric, Carl Edwards returns. Jarrett, Daytona 500 is mid. Danny, old guy is cool.
Old guy with a beard, specifically.
Yes. All right. Well, that's that was
so race this weekend. Who won?
In IndyCar,
we all won. No, I take that back. I had a fishing tournament this weekend. I sucked. I didn't catch a single fish. I lost. I need to get ready to learn Chinese and fishing, buddy.
Damn. Well, in IndyCar, Alex Palou won at Road America, and then F1, you know, Verstappen leads every lap and, you know, wins, of course. I didn't watch a single lap because I streamed for 10 hours. That was crazy. Oh, I'm never doing that again.
So you didn't get the whole, you know, notice like Netflix asking if you were still watching?
No. Oh, man.
All right. Well, we did have some news, right, Danny?
Yeah, some guy from down the street is getting an opportunity, like that.
The hometown dude. Hey. I mean, first we have Joseph Newgarden, hometown hero, winning the Indy 500. And now we got another hometown boy, Josh Berry.
Yeah,
he's moving on up.
Tony Stewart said that according to him, he was the clear choice all along, and he might as well have been. How long have we, the four of us, known that this was happening? Like what, 2 months at least?
I can like 2.5, I think, at the very
it's been a long 2.5 time.
Yeah, and what stuck out to me was Tony Stewart. He even confirmed before the Hendrick Motorsports replacement deal. The decision was already made months in advance, basically.
Yeah, they had kind of picked out Barry as their lead target preseason, like before the season began. And I think Barry even kind of talked about it. I didn't listen to all of his appearance on Dale Jr.'s podcast today, but I saw he was on the Dale Jr. download. But he did talk a little bit about, then when he gets the call that he's going to have to fill in for Chase Elliott last minute. It was sort of like it was simply an audition. Like, they hadn't signed anything with Stuart Haas yet. I'm sure in the back of his mind, he thought, if I just go out there and absolutely blow it, what if SHR pivots last minute and these talks fall through? Yeah. But yeah, they would have been talking well in advance. And apparently, like, Dale Jr. was pretty much aware of it from the beginning. I don't know how aware Chevy and Hendrick was, because maybe that would have changed their decision to put Barry in a Hendrick car, because instead they're basically now giving a rival free seat time,
That was the funniest part about that answer. Yeah. Tony, sorry, like, oh yeah, Chevy gave us a free seat time, thanks Chevy, appreciate
yeah
it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I did think it's interesting how early, apparently it was Stewart liked him, Harvick liked him, Rodney Childers especially seems to be a big Josh Berry fan. I know Childers comes from the late model world, obviously that's where Josh Berry is probably most known for. But that's, I think, the reason Rodney Childers is sticking around, because didn't he say a few years ago that when Harvick retires, there's a good chance he would go with him? I think he said that. I may be wrong. Someone that's in the right chat, correct me if I'm just making that up.
I think his mind just changed since he said that.
I think his mind changed because it's Josh Berry. I think if they were promoting, let's say Cole Custer was going to drive the four, which I don't think was ever a realistic option. But let's say Riley Herbst gets the four. Rodney Childers might pack it up or ask to be put in a more, permanent competition role where he gets to stay home more often. But since it's Josh Berry, I think that was instrumental in keeping Rodney Childers around, which I think is extremely important because he is one of the best crew chiefs in the garage.
So I just want to ask y'all something. I guess we can, sort of start the, more of the conversation here and stuff, but what are our y'all's expectations for him next year? I'm not expecting a miracle turnaround overnight, to be honest with you.
Top 20. I honestly, if he's
reasonable.
Top 20, he'd be top of his team. That's what I would think is a realistic expectation. He should outrun the Spire team. How about that?
Damn.
Which is actually more difficult to do now.
Damn, Jared, just hearing you say that just made me realize, damn, the bar is so low now.
Oh, it is.
God. Yeah.
But he's also a rookie. Like I've made this mistake, and I think a lot of us have, of really overselling or overrating how we think rookies will do. I mean, I don't want to sound like a jerk about this, but I don't know of any other way to say it. He's not even the best guy at the moment at his Xfinity team. And he's heading up to Cup, which is we've seen. I mean, Noah Gragson wiped the floor with him that last year, and just about everybody, and so did Ty Gibbs. And while Ty Gibbs is in that playoff contention, and I get the car isn't great by any means, but Noah Gragson looks lost right now as a Cup driver. So I would say if he finishes top 20, I think that should be successful. People forget Rodney Childers, when he was with MWR, while he got, you know, a win with Brian Vickers, and I believe he got another one with David Ruderman or two, they were, you know, they were never Kevin Harvick level performances.
But basically, he's a crew chief that'll get the best out of any driver, anyone.
I hate to sound so selfish in what I'm asking for him, but I want to win. I want to see a win out of him, because I'm looking back at SHR's last few drivers and their first year, they either got a win or was that close to getting a win. Chase Briscoe was that close to getting a win his first year at the Indy Road Course. He did get a win his second year. Cole Custer, he got a win his first year. Ryan Preece has already been in contention at Martinsville, had an opportunity to contend for a win there. And even Eric Almirola, his first season with SHR, he got a win at Talladega and was in contention for multiple races that year. So because of how the team is and what we've seen from the past with this caliber of a driver and what this four car is, I think the four is up there in arguing with what's the flagship car, SHR. I want to win. I want to see him at least contending for a win.
Yeah, I look at Josh Berry, and I consider him to be slightly overrated. And I think a large part of why is because he drives for Dale Earnhardt Jr. and he's had that endorsement this whole time. I think he's a smart race car driver. I think Tony Stewart said it well. He said he's very mature today. He said that in his press conference today, and I think that's accurate. I don't think you're going to see many dumb mistakes from Josh Berry, which is a good thing. But when it comes to just raw seat-of-your-pants talent, like what we see from Kyle Larson, he can just make a car go faster than just about anybody else. I think it will take time for Josh Berry to get there. But that's why I'm happy Rodney Childers is sticking around, because I do think that'll make that adjustment a little bit easier. So my expectation, I think expectations should be playoffs. I think anything short of playoffs, whether that's via a win or pointing his way in, anything short of playoffs will be slightly disappointing. And I understand that he's technically a rookie, but he is also 33 years old. Like with a 20-year-old like William Byron, you can give him 3, 4, 5 years to finally hit his rhythm, find his groove, and contend for deep playoff runs and championships. But with a guy like Josh Berry and the shoes he's now expected to fill, I mean, just kind of comes with the territory. He's getting a great opportunity. Expectations are high. They don't have 4 years to waste on Josh Berry. We can't wait till he's 37, 38 years old to finally start, you know, contending regularly for wins. He needs to be relevant right off the bat. Now, will he be relevant? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I think I'm a little higher on Rodney Childers than you are, Jarrett. I think Rodney's going to make a difference. I think the four car will consistently be the best car at SHR next year. I don't think Berry will necessarily be the best driver off the bat. Like, I look at Briscoe, who's got a little more Cup experience, to perhaps take that step. But I think playoffs should be the goal, and anything less of that will at least be a slight disappointment.
I'm just scarred by a little bit by, you know, post Jimmy Chad Knaus. Because, I mean, we've seen how Byron has been since getting with Rudy Fugel. And there's some pairings that are just magical, and Rodney Childers and Kevin Harvick, I think, are one of those pairings. That's where my worry. I don't doubt that Rodney Childers will help him out immensely, and I do think they come from the similar mindset of you know, just racers in general. I want people to pump the brakes on thinking that Josh Berry is going to be like the second coming of Kevin Harvick for this team. I honestly. He's been compared to this guy, and I think that it's valid. I honestly would be happy if he went down the Greg Biffle route. If it took 3 years to really become that big contender, but you see flashes of it, I would be happy with that so far.
See, the way I see it is Storehouse Racing is going to be in for a long rebuild, I feel like, because I mean, there's also rumors that, you know, the 10's going to be, you know, they're going to have a new driver. Harrison Burton, maybe Michael McDowell, perhaps, who knows? But I mean, to Eric's earlier point, I mean, he is 33 and he is going to be a rookie and stuff too. And I mean, I know he has all this, you know, late model experience and Xfinity experience and stuff, but as you know, I mean, the Cup Series is a different beast. I do feel like he will make very few rookie mistakes though. But as far as like being like competitive, I feel like if Josh Berry is like flirting with playoff contention, then I would consider that a good season, good first year for him.
Yeah, I think so. Like I'm saying, I think they go into it wanting to make the playoffs. If they end up like 18th, they miss out by a little bit, and
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, they'll be like, okay, that was okay. It's, you know, it's not the goal, but it was okay. But I agree with you guys that, you know, Josh Berry is not going to come in and save the day. Absolutely not. Like even long term, I think
33. Josh, he's 33 years old.
He's 33, yeah. But even 5 years from now, I kind of hope Chase Briscoe's better than him. You know, because Chase Briscoe's got a longer runway. He's been a Ford guy since the beginning, and So I look at Berry as, you know, hopefully just, you know, stopping the bleeding. Like you lose Harvick, this team is, I'm worried this team will be a C tier team next year. Hopefully Berry can help keep them be a B tier team. Hopefully Briscoe with his new crew chief can help them be a B tier team still. But yeah, that's all Berry is. He's not going to come in and keep that four car running top five. He's just there to stop the bleeding as much as possible.
Well, now when you say stop the bleeding, I mean, do you think like, because of his age and his current relevance, that for now he's like a stopgap driver until they can find somebody young, maybe? Or
no, I think it's more just, you know, yeah, like again, especially if Almirola retires, you could be looking at a super young team next year. I know Priest, I think, is 30 something, Barry's in his 30s, but you could have like a 20. Maybe they go with like McDowell to drive the 10 or something, but you could have like a young, you could have a Zane Smith at like 22 years old, wherever he is in the 10. You could have a 20 something year old Chase Briscoe, early 30s Priest and Berry, a lot of inexperience there. And that's a team that could all be just terrible. That could just be an awful team next year.
I would love Todd Gillen too, by the way. Just
putting out a little reckless speculation. I like to try and keep an eye on people that leak stuff out, like whether it's on Reddit or whatever, and if it's actually right. So again, grain of salt with this, but we've heard this name at the track before. We've heard this name as in the rumor mill, and they keep having people come out and say this guy is the lead contender to be in the 10. He's got sponsorship, and they're going to need it if Almirola retires. Harrison Burton with Dex going over to the 10 car. I would not rule that out, because the 21, the 21 is that car that Ford just throws whoever the hell they need to into it.
That car, once Blaney got away from it, it's just been downhill with that one. Paul Menard almost won a clash. That was about the only thing.
And also, I feel like Harrison Burton's a lot better than people think. I feel like because he's young and because that team isn't as good, it's a bad combo. So I feel like maybe a fresh start is exactly what he needs, but I would rather see
it's going to be young.
I would rather see Todd Gillen get the opportunity in the 10 or go full time with Front Row Motorsports.
Well, I want to mention, I don't know how to say his name. Bulgogi 77 in the chat said, Tony Stewart pretty much shot that idea down today. When Tony Stewart said that he's,
oh, come on.
I know.
Here's the thing. He's not the only owner, though. He's not the only owner. Oh, and also, I just realized this. Where was Gene Haas? He was at the announcement, or no?
He wasn't on stage. Maybe he was lurking in the background.
Okay. Because I know like there's a history where like he's made decisions behind, you know, Tony Stewart's back, and then, you know, vice versa and that sort of thing. So I didn't know.
Well, I just, you know, Tony, and I don't know that Harrison Burton fits this description, but Tony did say that he's not interested in putting kids with rich dads in his cars.
18-year-old rich kids is what he said.
Dude. Well, Harrison's what, 19? No, he's not.
I don't know. He described Ty Gibbs is what I feel like he described. And I think Ty Gibbs deserves to be up in Cup. I'm just saying that now.
Yeah, I agree.
But I mean, it's rich hearing that from Tony Stewart when Riley Herbst is on the team and Cole Custer is on the team and Eric Almirola with Smithfield's on the team.
Yeah. Well, with the Riley thing, you know, there's a reason he's not made it to the Cup yet. So
Yeah.
Hey, even Tony has 10. Some standard.
He's got a top 10, though.
At least when Cole Custer was elevated, he had won, like, what, 9 races that season before?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Going back to expectations, I think Stuart Haas Racing has bigger issues than just their driver lineup right now. I think from a leadership standpoint, and I went through this in my video this afternoon because I was diving into it. And it's hard to talk about crew chiefs because we don't know. We don't know technical stuff. We don't know what decisions they're making versus the team, what the manufacturer is struggling with versus them, the crew chief. Like, we don't know exactly. It's hard to judge their performance. But I look at the Stuart Haas crew chief lineup. I'm high on Rodney Childers. I think he's a Hall of Fame crew chief, no doubt. I think he's elite. I think he's great. But beyond him, they just replaced Briscoe's crew chief. So clearly they didn't feel Johnny Klossmeyer was getting the job done. And then the other two crew chief slots are Drew Blickensderfer, who, as a Matt Kenseth fan, I saw the beginnings of Blickensderfer. Well, we did win a Daytona 500 with him and then never won another race and missed the playoffs that year. And then he was out the very next season.
Didn't y'all win the first two, though?
We won the first two, missed the playoffs. Yeah. But it was all downhill from there. He's won 2 races since then. Both were super speedways. And granted, he's crew chief for, like, Richard Petty Motorsports Front Row. Not the best teams. But point is, I'm not sure Blickensderfer is necessarily an elite crew chief. And they brought Chad Johnston in this year to work with Ryan Preece. You know, the last time Chad Johnston crew chiefed at Stuart Haas, he went winless with Tony Stewart. And granted, it was late in Tony Stewart's career, but, you know, the next year Tony won in 2016 with somebody else. So
wasn't he also crew chief for Kyle Larson at Ganassi?
Yes, for a little bit. Yes.
At Ganassi, yep.
So yes. I think what when you look at the crew chiefs, because I think it is an interesting little tendril to kind of look down. What my question is, then why is Stuart Haas Racing as a team attracting lesser talent? Because in my opinion, then you could start talking about that being kind of a culture problem. Because, I mean, you see in all sports, teams with a good culture bring good people. People want to be on that team. Hendrick Motorsports, you see it all the time. They poach people all the time. Gibbs, they poach people, and they, you know, sometimes are like vampires of Toyota and take over full teams. But Stuart Haas Racing really hasn't done that since the early 2010s. So it sounds like the way that Haas runs one part, Stuart runs the other. They've had disagreements about guys like Kyle Busch and Larson, Kurt Busch. It sounds like a mess, honestly. Mm-hmm. And maybe they start performing better. Winning will solve everything, and we'll talk about how good they are. But it really feels like a mess right now. Overall.
Sometimes I think Tony just needs to look at Mr. Haas and say, "Do you know where your team was before I come on board here?"
Yeah, hey, true that. But also, too, I mean, just performance-wise, I mean, where would you rank Stuart Haas Racing amongst the 4 teams? I would rank them 4th, personally.
4th?
Penske, Front Row, RFK, and so those 3 would be ahead.
I still gotta have them above Front Row. They're doing good. I still don't have them above Front Row.
Kevin Harvick is above Front Row. Yeah. The rest of them are way below.
But Harvick is way ahead of Front Row. The other guys are just slightly behind Front. And Briscoe's better than Front Row. He just got that huge penalty. That's the reason he's behind.
Harvick's a generational talent. Like, if we take out and then you get the penalty back, it's still. Yeah. Are we really saying Ryan Preece is a worse driver than Michael McDowell? Because I like McDowell, but I think Preece is a better driver. We see Preece, when he is in good equipment, he dominates.
Yeah. That's fair. I'd say collectively
about Front Row.
I think it's even. Sorry.
But Front Row, I mean, like, I made the hot take last weekend or on last week that they could be championship contenders, at the end of the 2020s. But Stuart Haas, man, this, like Jared said, it was like kind of a bad culture. But hey, you know, maybe bringing in Josh Berry and a few new personnel guys might help that.
I like what Hunter Nixon Fishing says. Kevin Harvick will need permanent back surgery from all the team carrying he's done, which he did. He carried RCR in probably some of their worst days, and he's carrying SHR in some of their worst days.
Harvick has only been on an elite team for 5 or 6 years in his career. Like, because RCR was not an elite team. They were a good team when he was there, but I still hold that RCR, its entirety, has always been held up by Dale Earnhardt and Kevin Harvick. What I think about SHR is I actually think the 10 car is more important than the 4 car in signing. Because at this point, I think you knew that Stewart was going to take control of this one. If you're looking for the whole team to start shifting, because I do think that Chase Briscoe will be a much better driver than he's showing right now. You need to have that 10 car perform and have somebody good there. They have struck out so many times on so many good drivers or screwed up with good drivers on their own team. They need to get the number 10 car right. It can't be a rich kid. It can't be a pay driver. It's got to be a good driver. If they got to poach someone like Zane Smith from another team, they need somebody to be like another cornerstone on that team the way that Chase Briscoe is meant to be right now.
Yeah, right now, it's not like the 10 car has much legacy. Danica Patrick and Eric Almirola. Whoa.
hey, fifth in the points in 2018.
Go Daddy and Bacon.
Yeah. What a combo.
That's an American combo.
make a website with advertising. You're not sure what kind of company they are. And then we got bacon.
Hey, if we could mix a bacon commercial with the old school GoDaddy commercials, that's it wouldn't fly today, but it'd be great.
I mean, all GoDaddy'd have to do is just have Danica frying bacon in a bikini or something like that. That's what you got back then.
I don't know. Danica now is, if you've seen some of the highlights for
she ain't touching bacon.
The CTE's acting up. The CTE.
She's looking for the chemicals in the water that turn the bacon to frogs.
Hey, Eric, I don't know if you saw it. The CTE is definitely acting up now. Come on.
I'm not sure I've seen what you all have seen. I don't know. She seemed good on the Indy 500 pre-race show. I don't know. That's the last time I've seen it.
Anyways, what is your expectations for Josh Berry in 2024? Ran a poll on that. I'm going to go ahead and end it. Looks like most of you guys said he's going to miss the playoffs but be a top 24 driver.
That's fair.
46% said that, but 31% thinks that he can be in the playoffs without a win. 19% says playoffs with a win. And I'm glad to see this. Only 3% say missed the playoffs, finishing 25 or worse.
On that note of culture, real quick, before we change subjects, I want to ask you guys, do you think it matters at all that the timing's interesting? 2021, they went from being a dominant team to Harvick was winless that year. That same year, Tony Stewart co-finds a new racing series. Tony Stewart runs off and starts a drag racing, an NHRA team. He starts running those races. He gets married. Gene Haas, we know he's also focused on Formula One. He's got big businesses that make the big money. Do you worry that the two guys whose names are on the building aren't really focused on NASCAR or aren't giving it the attention it maybe deserves? Do you think that matters? I've thought about that. It's made a difference.
It seems like it's not the full focus anymore. And even nothing wrong with it. We all loved him in the booth, but Tony Stewart was in the booth a lot instead of being out there, helping, seeing what's happening on the team.
Well, and he also, at the end of last year, was like, I'm fine with being at any other racing series in the world except one based in the Southeast of America.
Yeah, that's right.
He threatened to boycott NASCAR last fall.
I mean, I'm not saying they're totally not focused, but I mean, to some extent, yeah.
I don't know how involved Tony and Gene Haas are in the day to day, but Brad buys into RFK and it sounds like he's very involved.
Brad is reminding me of Tony when he first became an owner driver right now. Mm-hmm.
That's maybe a good point. And I think maybe it's Tony Stewart to an extent, Gene Haas have just lost some of that focus. And that's why RFK is on the rise and SHR could be why they're slipping. Just could.
It didn't happen in this announcement. There were some people that was kind of hoping that we would also hear SHR would go to Chevrolet. I think also maybe being a Ford hasn't been their biggest help in the last few years.
The funniest one I saw today was, Kevin Harvick Alliance is going to come back or incorporated or whatever. Yeah.
See, the way it looks from an outside perspective to me is Stewart has turned almost into a figurehead of his own team. And it seems like Gene Haas is making more of the decisions. I mean, if you look at the drivers that they bring on, Eric Almirola, who brings on money, then you got Cole Custer, who I believe his dad is also a business associate of Gene Haas. You have Riley Herbst, whose family has money that is also associated in some ways with Gene Haas. And then you see, whenever the factory of Ford or whoever is not wanting a driver or they don't want to put too much towards a driver, be too difficult. Again, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, they go that direction and Tony throws a tantrum out in the media. So, because he talked about on Dale Jr. Download that him and, or was it his own podcast? I don't know. But him and his now wife in 2020, they just went off and did like a cross-country road trip for 4 or 5 months. That doesn't sound like somebody who is dealing with the intricacies, even if two of those months were under lockdown. Doesn't sound like that someone who has his fingers in everything going on with his team the way that he used to be.
He's not as hands-on. Yeah. I mean, look at Brad Keselowski, man. I mean, there's a reason that team turned around like almost like
look at Jeff Gordon and, now.
Yeah, Gordon too.
And I mean, you know, hey, good on Tony. He deserves
he's at a different point in his life.
He deserves to be happy and enjoying his life. I heard a rumor that maybe him and his wife are gonna have a kid. I don't know. I guess it was just a weird rumor.
Yeah,
it's just BS. But hey, if he's enjoying his life, you know, do whatever he, you know, whatever's gonna make him happy at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's just at a different point in his life. I mean, he's just, you know, getting older, you know, I mean, yeah. But
there's people that rely on him.
Yeah, that too. So, I mean,
that's the thing is, it's just
which one you want to, gotta choose, you know, gotta choose. So,
or at least make sure you have the right people in place to lead SHR. And I know Greg Zipidelli's been there a long time. I mean, I trust him in a lot of ways, but I can think of like Roush. Part of their downfall, I think, was they probably left Robbie Reiser in a competition director role that didn't quite suit him longer than they probably should have. So you never know.
I just realized something. Greg Zipidelli has followed me on Twitter for like 4 years. I should just ask him. Just be like, hey,
right now, do it right now.
See if he wants to come on.
Drop a Zoom link in the DMs.
Just DM say, hey, why are you guys trash now?
Like, no, just send the guy with the stick meme. Greg, do Greg, something,
please. Save it. Save this team.
Okay, we're acting very professional. Hey, one thing that we had on our list of things to talk about before we get off of the SHR and Josh Berry subject. Right now, that car has no sponsor. It's still believed that Busch Beer may be going towards Ross Chastain. Do we have any, you know, reckless speculations of who we think could maybe become his sponsor? One idea that's come to me is maybe the Tire Pros company could come over, but who's also coming out to me is Bass Pro Shops. They're with Junior Motorsports, they're with Josh Berry on that side, but they've also been a partner of SHR in the past because of Tony Stewart. And Johnny Morris seems to not be, he doesn't seem to be driver or team loyal because he's with JGR, he's with RCR, he's with Junior Motorsports. Maybe he wants to come back over to SHR and be with Josh Berry.
I say half the races are funded and then the other half are funded by Gene Haas or Ford Development or Ford, yeah.
I'm going a lot of Ford Performance will be on that car.
A lot of Haas too.
It's just they have some they said that are interested. So that's like, it's hard to say which ones, but it's like, if it's still, you know, granted there's 6 months left in the year, but it seems like when we talked about the Kyle Busch thing, a lot of these sponsor deals, big or small, usually take a lot of time unless, you know, it's already been worked on for a while. So I do think there's going to be a lot of number four Ford Performance ones, and maybe like Mobile One or somebody who's been with SHR for a while.
Yeah.
I would say watch out for like Hunt Brothers Pizza and such, because he's now a KHI client as well. So I can see some of those Kevin Harvick sponsors also.
I had
gas station pizza.
I had that at the fairgrounds, and I was not a fan.
I've never had it, I don't think. I don't think I've had ever.
But
had
Eric, I have an idea for you. I mean, hey, what about you know, your face on the floor car? What about that? You know,
I don't have $100,000 or whatever it costs. You know what
I'm sure the chat would love that. Hey, chat, fund us. Fund it.
Your super chats will power Josh Berry to victory.
There you go.
Come on, Eric. Don't you know you're a NASCAR YouTuber? You're rich.
Yeah, we're millionaires. Some people think.
Okay, well, this, we're getting too much craziness here.
But we're crossing over the third wall a little too much.
See,
here.
Well, that's what happens when you have a bye week, NASCAR. So that's what happens.
Yeah, NASCAR, get rid of all off weekends, you lazy bums.
We have a bye week. We talk about the four. We're talking about funding cars, and hell, even Joe Gibbs is doing different stuff now.
I'll just say this, you know, I don't know, with the way some industry people have been acting all week, hey, might need to get rid of the bye week, it sounds like. Might need to get rid of it.
I don't know. I heard YouTubers were the problem.
What'd you say about Joe Gibbs, Jarrett? What's Joe Gibbs doing over there?
He's doing some crazy stuff, man. He's selling a minority stake in his team.
He just bought a minority stake in the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, hey, get him out the second round, Joe Gibbs. Get him out the second round.
I don't know. His last stint in stick and ball sports didn't exactly go too well when he was the Washington coach again.
Yeah. Well, he made the playoffs a couple of times, but yeah.
Hang the banner.
To me, all this information that's been coming out with Joe here lately, is it really seems like he's trying to set up the Gibbs family really well and moving forward. He's making a few acquisitions that's going to set them up nicely.
And I got a couple of things to say on that. So Joe Gibbs is I believe 82 years old.
Correct.
He has unfortunately lost both of his sons, or two of his sons, excuse me. And yeah, I mean, just like Danny said, I mean, like, this is just, you know, putting the proper steps in place. And also, I had also seen that Coy Gibbs, his widow, is also taking a higher role in the personnel department and stuff too. So, you know, he's at that old age and stuff, you know, just, you know, got a plan for the inevitable, basically, if you know what I mean.
The hard reality is we're seeing this with lots of teams. We know Roger Penske has a huge group behind him at this point that we know is Tim Cindric, Austin's dad. He's a big part of that. There's lots of people involved with Penske that are going to be able to take it over, sadly, when that day comes. Jeff Gordon stepped up in a huge way of Hendrick Motorsports for, sadly, when that day comes. Now,
they can retire before they die. Let's not say that.
I say when that day comes, but that could mean retirement or the worst. So,
yeah.
God,
yeah, I'm not meaning for it to say.
Hey, look,
I'm just being down.
Hey, look, I'm just being honest, man. Because these cup owners are old. They're old, bro. Like, I mean, they're Sam Smith in the Hunt in the Xfinity series. He's 30 years old. He's like one of the youngest owners and stuff.
Yeah, these cup owners are old. Tony Stewart, you're old.
Yeah, so like, hey, there's a new generation on the up and up, I guess. But yeah.
But no, I think this makes sense. This makes sense though for Joe Gibbs from a couple different perspectives. There's obviously that perspective of, you know, like he still owns the majority of the team. It's still a family owned team. It's still going to be, it's called Joe Gibbs Racing. That plan is still in place potentially. But now this does bring in another group. This brings in some other investors. Some more cash potentially. Like this gives Joe Gibbs more options as he nears his retirement or however he goes about, passing his team along. But bigger than that, Joe Gibbs, when you compare him to the other major team owners like Roger Penske and Rick Hendrick and Gene Haas for that matter, Joe Gibbs doesn't have another major business helping fund his racing team. Like for Joe Gibbs right now, the race team is his major business. And with Rick Hendrick, we see this with like HendrickCars.com or Ally. He's able to utilize his real world businesses to, negotiate some B2B business to business deals with sponsorship to help get some good deals for his race team. Roger Penske does the exact same thing. Penske does the same thing with basically all their sponsors, it feels like. Joe Gibbs has never had that luxury, but now bringing in the, what's it called? The Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment Group, who, they have their fingers potentially on the Washington Commanders soon, Philadelphia 76ers, I think the New Jersey Devils, I think a soccer team or two. Like they've got their fingers in all sorts of different pies. Now that opens Joe Gibbs's business opportunities up a little bit. He's got more, basically what this ultimately does, both from a succession plan point of view and also just finding sponsorship point of view, is it broadens Joe Gibbs's options. It opens up additional doors, which I think is good. I think it's smart. It catches him up in some ways with the other super team owners in the Cup Series.
Yeah.
You want to hear something crazy about this whole deal and why it's such a big deal too, just outside?
What's that?
Pro Football Focus actually has an article about Joe Gibbs Racing being sold, like their stake being sold to Harris Blitzer and how it ties into business with the NFL. So it will probably have ripples. I wouldn't be surprised if you have different NASCAR things at Washington games now. Like, I would not be surprised at all.
Someone in the comments of my video the other day noted that FedEx is expected to re-sign with Hamlin and Joe Gibbs Racing. Don't the Washington Commanders play at like FedEx Field or something?
Yes.
Isn't it the name of it? So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but there's a potential tie-in that I'm sure FedEx is happy with.
They just need to fix the sewage at that stadium.
Yeah. I heard it's not a great stadium, unfortunately,
it's one of the worst.
It's better than Soldier Field.
They just pay for a shiny logo. They don't pay for that part. So
yeah.
But on that subject, you know, I don't know where it's going with that.
Well, I think what with it is you still have that brand of Joe Gibbs Racing there. You're still going to have, you know, it seems like everything in place. It might bring more sponsorship in because there's people with new age ideas coming into the sport.
Now I remember where I was going with that. So RFK Racing is now RFK because of Kozlowski. Well, originally that was Roush Racing. Then he joined with the Fenway Group, and that's when, you know, Roush Fenway come into it. So in a way, it's kind of similar, only this case they're not going to say, hey, we need to add in the Blitzer name into this. It's going to still say Joe Gibbs Racing.
AGBR.
JG, that's
Joe Gibbs Blitzer Racing.
I would probably call it just Gibbs Blitzer.
GBR.
Yeah.
Sounds like a bank name.
Get out of here, Gaunt Brothers Racing.
But no, I'm honestly interested how this will go because it does seem like they have the plan of keeping the Gibbs family involved. And it's probably making the best out of the terrible situation that family has had. But I am honestly the person I would want to know what they think about this because of the sponsorship that could be added in for this. I would love to know what Kyle Busch thinks. Like, man, if this was
one year too
earlier.
Damn. Yeah. Just, but hey, you know, at least doing his thing at RCR.
You know what? I don't think he cares because he signed a deal that set up his son. That's what he wanted.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. He did. Yeah.
He wanted to be dad of the year, and he did it with that.
Speaking of rich dads buying their rides.
Right. What the heck?
Age driver at 8 years old.
Let's be real. When Brexton gets to that point, he's going to be like Ty Gibbs, I feel like.
Tony Stewart was beeping with the 8-year-olds. Like, yeah, you see these 8-year-olds coming up.
I would love to see Brexton Busch mouth off to Tony Stewart just because I feel like Tony would look at him dumbfounded. Like I just
want to see
that.
If Keelan Harvick ever goes the NASCAR route and he's ready for a cup ride, Tony Stewart's like, nope.
Nope. I'll play favorites here.
No rich kid with a famous dad's going to buy one of my favorites.
I'm just having a short realization here. That kid's 8 years old. By the time he could be a NASCAR driver, he'd got to be 18 minimum. Yeah. By the time I would be interviewing him, like in the sense we do this stuff, I would be 37 years old. Oh my gosh.
We'll be up there.
I'm going to be old when that comes.
We'll be up there.
That's old.
That's old for an NBA player, I guess. I don't know.
Professional athlete.
That's old for a YouTuber. That's what it's old.
That's good. That is true.
It's gonna be. We'll be older than we are now.
Wait, Danny. Didn't you just talk about a YouTuber that's an old dude with a beard?
Didn't say it was always a bad thing.
That's what makes him special.
Oh gosh, sorry. I just got scared. My phone's going off about something. Some kind of storms in the area or something.
Hey,
like
you know what? I heard a lot of thunder yesterday, but I haven't heard the round on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. Jarrett, what do we have on tap for tonight?
So the first thing is that TRD expects Truex to be back next year, which
that means we can all pressure him at National Super Speedway again because that's where we found out last year.
You're gonna retire.
All manufacturers will represent as the official pace car at different points of the Chicago Street Race, according to Jayski. So,
okay.
Well, I wonder, is it Brett Bodine that's the pace car driver? Is he going to like get out of each pace car and go to a different one, or like how's that going to work?
Probably, right? Because he's the official pace car guy. Right?
I mean, they could have a two more additional ones for this one.
Well, and Jack Daniels will be an official sponsor, which I have a feeling a lot of NASCAR fans will need. It's at Jack Daniels and Coke.
Yeah, that's
I had that last
cool.
night. It was fun.
I feel like there's got to be a driver who runs a scheme dedicated to that.
Well, also looking at some of the announcements that may be coming, Trackhouse and Chastain still are the favorites to keep, or at least land Anheuser-Busch. It's going to be really interesting to see how that ends out. This one came out. There's not much information on it, but we can mention it. NASCAR is looking, one of the countries they highlighted to expand to is India. And I saw a statistic that if they get a 0.02 rating on Indian TV for an exhibition or anything, they would get three times the audience at the Daytona 500.
There's so many people, It's such a huge lot of country. People. Yeah.
See, when WWE found out that, they made an Indian heritage wrestler to champion. We gotta find some way to get an Indian NASCAR driver.
Well, I have a friend who, like, his family came over from India, and when he went, he told me he went over to visit like 10 years ago or so. He was saying how it was just wild, like being on one of those streets and how packed everything is. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you guys a bit of the stories. I don't want to get demonetized, but he was telling me stories about being over there, and it is like just it sounds just fun to witness.
Everyone who watches my channel or know me on Twitter, you guys know this. I love trains. I would be so interested to see how one of those trains works, and apparently a lot of people just get onto them.
Real quick, I got a text from somebody I know that's going to be working the Chicago race that weekend. So each pace car will have a dedicated driver that stays in the car the whole weekend.
Okay.
So thank you. let's see. Justin Marks will run the number 10 for colleague in the Xfinity race at Chicago as well.
Mm-hmm.
There is a new console game coming out soon for NASCAR called NASCAR Arcade Rush. It will release later this year for, you know, different PlayStations, Xboxes, the Switch, and also on PC. And, well, I can just tell you, it looks like it works, so it's already better than Ignition.
Yep, already.
What I saw of it reminded me a little bit of, like, the Rocket League NASCAR experience, but in a racing form.
Yeah, I'm going to get that on PC. I'm going to play with y'all and see what it's like.
And then two more things here. Another gaming one is the new NASCAR Heat 5 DLC for 2022 is out a year and a half late. And David Ragan is selling his 1960 Ford Fairlane Andy Griffith Mayberry Sheriff car for a measly price of $28,000.
I feel like for that to be such a unique car, the Andy Griffith car, I feel like that's a low price for something like that.
Really? Yeah.
And
like it just needs it going.
And that's it. That's the lightning round. Man, we are.
And that'll do it for this edition of the famous lightning round on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. And now back to the show.
So speaking of David Ragan, he is not going to find himself on this week's list of the top 75 drivers.
Nice segue.
Sadly.
Where is he? Like, is he even top 200?
He
won a race.
Yeah,
well, won two
multiple races. So
he won a few. I don't know.
There's been a little over 200 winners, I think, in NASCAR's Cup Series. So he should be in the
top 200. Top 200. Yeah, there you go.
But we can start off with number 50, part of the Allison family of racing. We have Donnie Allison, of course, known for being part of the big fight in 1979, but more than just a fight. He had 10 wins over the course of his NASCAR Cup Series career, including the 1970 World 600, but he never did run a full season in NASCAR.
But for not running a full season, I mean, like, just like the other guys we had, I mean, to do that during, the 60s and 70s, and to be that good consistently whenever he did run just shows how talented he was.
Well, I'm a little confused. We have Darian 56. Mm-hmm. Most of us was in the low 50s and some in the high 60s. How the heck does that equal 50?
Well, the average doesn't have to equal it as long as it was in that range too. And plus some also had one or two people not have him on the list that would have also ranked higher on other people's lists.
It's a whole formula.
I guess it makes sense.
He has all this stuff written down in his notebook, so like it's too much for me to read.
The math ain't mathing on this one to me, but
well, I mean, the next one also doesn't average 49, but we still have him in 49 because of the variation too. If we did that, we wouldn't have a number one or two pick because the top average has a three average and.
And there's a whole lot of factors that factor into that. But Donnie Allison, though, I mean, like, yeah. I had him the highest though for the reasons I just said. So I wish he won more crown jewel races, but still 10 wins.
Well, I feel like people forget that he was the one in 79 who was running for the win. Everyone thinks it's Bobby Allison.
No, it's Donnie Allison. No, Bobby just stopped and, you know, just to check on his brother. And then they started.
Joined in.
Yeah, just joined in, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, you're fine? Let me hop in on that.
Yeah. Instantly.
But yeah, I definitely a guy I think is fitting. If not top 50, still around that range, though.
Yep,
and top 75 in my opinion.
Which I got to think about this. Now we're hitting into, you know, a key number here, top 50 drivers, because, you know, originally it was the 50 greatest drivers. So now we have him as our 50 greatest drivers in the Cup Series. So.
Yep, and the second member of the Alabama gang to be on this list so far.
Now, after Donnie Allison is a former NASCAR Cup Series champion, the 1992 champion to be exact, Alan Kulwicki.
Thunderbird.
Known for the Hooters Thunderbird. 5 wins over the course of his really too short NASCAR career. The 1986 Rookie of the Year. And in terms of non-NASCAR accolades, I think it's worth noting that he is the 1981 Slingers National winner. But Alan Kulwicki, definitely a career cut, very much too short. I had him at 50th. The chat had him 46th, really close to where he's landed. Eric, very, very high thinking of him, had put him 31st. Jarrett and Darren had him in their top 60s.
Yeah, I said Thunderbird. I meant Underbird, the Underbird. I mean, he was a true underdog, man. The 1992 champion. Nobody had him pegged to win the championship that year. But, I mean, he always, you know, held his own. I mean, 5 career wins, but he was extremely consistent. Consistent enough to win the 1992 Winston Cup Series championship. It just sucks he really didn't get to enjoy it, you know, too long afterwards, unfortunately. Tragically passed away in the plane crash in 93. But, you know, overall, an amazing career.
People, I think, forget, too, that he had a huge comeback. Now, granted, a lot of it was Davey Allison and Bill Elliott collapsing at the end of the season. But with 6 races remaining, he was 278 points out of the lead.
And he thought he was done, too. In the documentary, like, his crew was like, yeah, I think we're done. But his crew, I mean, like, they were just like, no, we're still in this. We're still in this. They pulled it together in that 6 race stretch. And I mean, we're still talking about that, you know, we're still talking about that 1992 championship as like one of the greatest, you know, championship races seasons, you know, still in 2023.
Well, it was used as justification initially for the first iteration of the chase.
And there's something interesting too. I don't know if a lot of people noticed. I found it out when I was doing my research on Junior Johnson's racing team for one of the Rise and Fall videos. Alan Kulwicki actually had Maxwell House Coffee secured for the sponsorship when he was going to go start his own team. But Junior Johnson wanted him to come race for him so bad because he saw the talent that Alan had. And when he told him no, Junior Johnson went behind Alan's back and actually went and stole that sponsorship away for his own team.
I think
Junior didn't want to be, he didn't want to be told no. And ultimately, Alan Kulwicki ended up beating Junior's team.
Got the last laugh in the end.
I want to chime in here because I have Kulwicki way higher than everybody else in this Zoom call at the moment. And I saw the chat was pointing that out. And I'll admit, first and foremost, I'm slightly biased because as a lifelong Matt Kenseth fan, Alan Kulwicki, I think for many, was seen as one of those early benchmarks of, you know, the great Wisconsin short track racing culture. He kind of helped in many ways put that on the map. And obviously, y'all have already hit on it, that underdog championship in 1992. Someone in the chat just mentioned, yeah, Slap Shoes, our friend, has a great video highlighting how, you know, Kulwicki wins as an owner driver, caused a lot of other great drivers to think they could do it too. And nobody did. Nobody could do it the same way Alan Kulwicki did. And, you know, maybe I have him a little high because I'm biased. I do value winning that championship. And of course, that 1992 race, you know, the impact of that race is still talked about, felt today. But I guess I'm also a prisoner of kind of the idea, like the unfulfilled potential. Obviously his career, life, everything was tragically cut short. So I'm left sitting here thinking about maybe what could have been, what more he could have done. But even what he did and the amount of time he had to do it, I think, you know, my list is largely based on who had the greatest impact, who won the biggest events, the greatest accomplishments. And I think for that reason, Kulwicki, maybe 31's a little high. I'll give myself that, but top 40, I give Alan Kulwicki a nod. He also popularized the, or maybe he invented, I know he popularized the Polish victory lap
that drivers
still utilize today.
That's right. A what if scenario I've always thought about is what if, you know, Matt Kenseth drove for Alan Kulwicki instead of, Roush Racing, That'd be cool.
I always questioned, would Kulwicki have adapted? Because Kulwicki always wanted to do it his way.
Yeah, true
and
that, yeah.
Those other, drivers proved that going as a single car driver owner would not work. He might have just been a one and done. Like that's the mystery of Kulwicki.
And to be fair, he was doing good with Ford when they had the Thunderbird. When as the years go on, they get away from Thunderbird, they go to Ford Taurus. Who knows if he would have been able to still find that same success over the years.
I would have been able to keep pace with Roush, because Roush was the only team really in the late 90s that could keep up with the Evernham.
Yeah, there was a reason that Penske got away from Ford, because they knew they couldn't keep up the Roush engines.
Yeah, but you know what? Even though those are, what if scenarios, one thing that isn't in question, Alan Kulwicki being one of the greatest drivers ever.
Indeed. Moving on from Alan Kulwicki, at number 48, we do not have the driver to 48, Jimmy Johnson. We have Speedy Thompson at number 48, the 1957 winner of the Southern 500. He had 20 wins over the course of his NASCAR Cup Series career, and he's one of the pioneer drivers of his career spanning from 1950 until 1971, a very long, ultimately, for one of the pioneer drivers, lasting 21 years over his NASCAR career.
Yeah, 20 wins and 21 CMA. Not bad. Southern 500 winner, and also a awesome name, Speedy. Speedy Thompson.
I mean, you don't get much better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that longevity as well. I think I looked it up. He made less than, 200 starts officially. But to win 20 races, that ratio is great. But to race for over a decade, like to make your start in the 50s and still be racing in the 60s and on. And I think back in those days, that probably felt kind of uncommon. I think for a lot of drivers, feels like we've talked on this list about a lot of great drivers who had 5 years and then a horrible crash, ended their career early .
The thing is that Thompson, while he did not race in 72 before he had passed away, he could have raced longer. So when he died, he was 45. He had a heart attack in a racing crash, at least is what I've seen. As the cause of his death, he could have probably raced. Now, and this wasn't a NASCAR, but he probably could have raced in NASCAR another 5-10 years, knowing how drivers raced in their 50s back then. So he is another one that I think could have definitely been higher on the list because it was during a late model race at Metrolina. But looking at his career, I mean, just sporadic starts, and you look at how many times in those starts he still was top 20, top 10, top 5, getting wins. And he was a short track ace. I see one at Concord, Hickory, did get a win at Charlotte. I don't know if it was I don't think it was a 600. Might have been. But yeah, and plus, just again, the awesome name.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, Speedy Thompson. Yeah, number 48. Seems like the right place to be.
Yeah. So moving on from Speedy Thompson, another fun name is number 47, Fonte Flock. 19 wins over the course of Flock's career. He's a 1952 Southern 500 winner, and he finished second in the points in 1951 with his first win also coming at Langhorne Speedway over in his NASCAR Cup Series career.
That was a crazy speedway.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe Fonte Flock, he was in that first official NASCAR race, their inaugural season, race one.
So.
He was around. And the Flock family, of course, was a well-known moonshine family, or well-known for running moonshine. So they were like the textbook. When you think like NASCAR's roots, I feel like you have to think about the Flock family. And Fonte fits right in, winning, how many wins did you say? 19, I think. I mean, he was legit. He was a great driver on real back roads and racetrack roads. I mean, I think so.
Yeah. So looking at he was in that first NASCAR season and he finished second in that first race.
Interesting.
Wow.
Nice.
I can't remember who he finished second to. I want to say it was Jim Roper. That's who won the first race.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, he finished second in that race. You want to hear something crazy? How much money do you think he won in that first race?
$20.
Oh gosh.
Finish second.
50 here. Cents.
Come on, guys. Give him
All right. $100.
Any other guesses?
$300.
Some new boots.
$1,000. So we have paid people for winning in iRacing for us more than Fonny Flock won in his first ever NASCAR race. The winner got $2,000.
Wow. Okay. Damn.
It's just amazing the different world. But but without drivers like him, we don't have.
How much could you build a car for back then?
I mean, the gas was well under a dollar, so I would assume that would probably cover a lot of it.
The parts to build it still not cost a lot?
I think a lot of stuff was cheaper back then.
Yeah.
But I guess also back then, you really just went to a dealership, got a car, and you made a few adjustments to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had him like the highest out of us. I had him 38th just because of Eric's earlier point. Just like, I mean, we think of NASCAR's roots. You think of like, you know, of the Flock family instantly. You know, it's like without them, like, you know, there isn't a NASCAR. So thank you.
I'm surprised me and the Chad actually had him lowest of a 52nd.
Hmm.
Hey, Eric at least was you right had on
the, Eric was right on the dot. And Danny was one spot off. So you guys were like the closest to getting what it would end up being.
Yeah, definitely. Moving on from Fonty at number 47, we have a guy who honestly, it's a shock that he even got to make it to be this good, because in 1961, he was banned for life by NASCAR, a ban that only lasted 4 years. Curtis Turner, 17 wins over the course of his NASCAR Cup Series career, including the 1956 Southern 500. He also won the very first race held at Rockingham Speedway, and in most people's eyes, he was the first true NASCAR superstar.
And we have proof of that.
He was also the first NASCAR driver to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yep. And speaking of that, for those listening and then those watching who can see it, this is the cover. This is the first NASCAR driver on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He was superstar, known as a partier. And this Sports Illustrated came out on February 26th, 1968, for 40 cents. That's how much you could buy it back then. But I put him way higher than everybody. I personally think that he is one of the most underrated drivers in NASCAR history. When he would race, he would always be going up front for wins. He, like we said, he was the first real superstar. He was Tim Richmond before Tim Richmond was there. This magazine has an article about him that they would party like all week long, and the only time he stopped was to go race hungover. And then come back and party some more for the rest of the week. There would be tracks would announce he was racing and sell out. And if he didn't show up, that almost the entire grandstand would empty out because he wasn't racing there.
Yeah. And
that's insane.
And Jared just showed proof that, yeah, he was truly the first superstar because he was the first driver or NASCAR driver to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Just NASCAR.
First NASCAR driver, I believe.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, that's historic. And yeah, he was a major draw back in those days. Yeah.
When I was in North Carolina a couple months ago, I stopped by the North Carolina Auto Racing Hall of Fame right there in Mooresville. So here in North Carolina, you know what I'm talking about. And they have on display, I believe it's his Southern 500 winning car from 1956, the Ford Purple Hog. And it looks so cool. I'm sure it's been like touched up, if not completely restored. I don't know, but it looks so cool. So I recommend if you're in the Charlotte area to go check that out.
For sure. I want to say he was also in the lumber business, and this isn't, this is kind of stuff outside, but you know, I'm a big Curtis Turner fan. But I can't remember what the name of the satellite was, but he was actually involved in making one of the satellites that the Kennedy administration sent up into space.
Whoa.
In the design phase. He also was the co-founder of Charlotte Motor Speedway. Without Curtis Turner, NASCAR does not form into what it is today. And I feel like he's been overlooked way too much, and I will die on that hill.
Yeah, I mean, the Charlotte's the central hub of racing now because largely because of him. Wow.
Now, he did kind of get screwed over in that, but we'll
Oh, gloss I didn't over know that. Yeah.
No, it wasn't anything of his own doing, really. It was more the SMI side.
Gotcha. Yeah. Say less. But nah, he's 46 on our list. One of the greats. First ever superstar.
That wraps up drivers 50 through 46. Donnie Allison, Alan Kulwicki, Speedy Thompson, Fonte Flock, and Curtis Turner rounds out all we've got for this week's rendition of our top 75 drivers.
I see Jupiter Rain in the chat says, where's Kyle Larson? Is he in the top 20? You'll have to wait and find out. He might be on this list.
We are not there yet.
I won't say any names, but I did finish all the graphics for it. So I know, you know, everyone that's set out and ready to go. There's a few people on next week's list that have raced when a lot of our viewers have watched.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. More recent drivers.
There are at least, I would
Ty
say.
Ty Gibbs.
Oh, totally.
I didn't say that. Somebody else said that.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. I just got distracted and I gotta call this out. Friend of the podcast, Elijah Burke. He just got engaged today. Congratulations to him and Carlene. Carlene also runs the Lionel Racing social media accounts. And Claudia just showed me how he proposed. He rigged up a Brad Keselowski diecast and put the ring in where the engine is and acted like something was wrong with the diecast, turns it around, and that opens it up, ring inside a diecast. That is so appropriate. He works for RFK. She does the Lionel Racing stuff. That's awesome.
That's cool.
Awesome. That's great. I love that.
That's one of the best engagement stories I've seen in a while. Yeah, that's cool.
That's clever.
Yeah. Congrats, man.
Congrats to Elijah and Carlene.
Congrats.
I'll probably definitely have to say congrats to him in person.
Speaking
of this weekend, Nashville Super Speedway, the four of us, we will be there. Mm-hmm. Some weekend notes for Nashville Super Speedway. One, Noah Gregson has been cleared of all of his concussion protocols and will return to the 42 car this weekend. Another note, Carl Edwards is set to make an appearance this weekend. He is, I believe, the winningest driver in Nashville Super Speedway history with, I think, like three wins in the Xfinity Series. I don't remember if he ever won in the Truck Series, but at least three wins in the Xfinity Series. So I think that puts him as the winningest driver at Nashville Super Speedway. So that's why they're honoring him.
They helped give him the moniker of Concrete Carl.
Carl, it added into it. So definitely he got a few wins at Bristol too and Dover. So definitely really good on the concrete tracks. Speaking of this race, the Cup Series race is the Ally 400. This is a 1 1/3 mile track. So this is going to be a 300 lap event. Stages, we have 90 laps, 95 laps, 115 laps. Start time is at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock p.m. local time here in Nashville when it'll be taken, when it'll be starting. Coverage, not on Fox anymore. We are on NBC, and radio coverage will be on the Performance Racing Network, PRN. They have all the SMI tracks, so they will be having the radio broadcast this weekend. Weather this weekend. Right now, we have a high of 89 degrees, pleasant conditions of clouds and sun. 25% chance of rain is what Jared has here. But me being a local, I have more access to local weather around here. I'm a little worried because right now, my app is saying for Sunday, a 35% chance of AM showers. But the thing I'm more worried about where this race starts in the evening, it's saying for the evening, scattered thunderstorms during the evening, becoming more widespread overnight. Storms may contain strong, gusty winds, looking about a 70% chance of rain Sunday night with AM thunderstorms expected for Monday. So we could very well see storms starting and impact this race going into the evening.
You know, I've never personally covered a Monday race, so that'd be interesting.
I will not be covering a Monday race. I'm sorry. The Xfinity Series race is the Tennessee Lottery 250. This is a 188-lap race. Stages are 45 laps, 45 laps, and then 98 laps in stage three. This race is set to start at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time, 2:30 p.m. local time, with this race being on get ready for this one, the USA Network with radio coverage on the Performance Racing Network. And for Saturday, weather is looking great for Saturday. We have a high of 90 degrees, partly cloudy, and only an 8% chance of rain. The defending winner of this race is Justin Allgaier. And for the Truck Series race, it is the Rackley Roofing 200. This is a 150-lap race. Your stages are 45 laps, 50 laps, and 55 laps for stage three. The start time for this one, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, 7 o'clock p.m. local time, with coverage on FS1 and radio coverage on MRN. And the weather for Friday is a high of 81 with scattered showers predicted that day, 40% chance of rain. We'll see what ends up happening on Friday. Defending winner of this race two times is Ryan Preece. Ryan Preece will not be in the Truck Series race this year, though.
And he would have been an automatic victory if he was.
I would have had him for sure.
Yeah.
So chat, don't accidentally pick him. Darian, who's Vegas saying is to be favored this weekend at Nashville?
Well, you know, I feel like Vegas hasn't really been paying attention to the season much because they got Kyle Larson at plus 550. I mean, he's a favorite, but I mean, checkers were records this year. You know what I mean? I mean, we're almost halfway, so figured he'd be lower, but nope. And then we have Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Busch both at plus 750 apiece. And then at plus 850 apiece, we have William Byron and Denny Hamlin. As for the best of the rest, also at plus 850 is Chase Elliott. And then Ryan Blaney at plus 900, Ross Chastain at plus 1100, Christopher Bell at plus 1300, and Tyler Reck at plus 1600. As for the famous underdog segment, Alex Bowman, Danny, your boy, Alex Bowman is plus 3000, Brad Keselowski plus 4500, Ty Gibbs plus 5000, Chris Buescher plus 8000. And nope, I kid you not, this is not a joke. They have Todd Gilliland at plus 100,000. So if you want to put down a bet for like a top five, maybe, you know, just for the hell of it, hey, you can win a lot of money if things go his way. So we'll see what happens about that. And I just realized too, we didn't read the fantasy standings last week, did we?
No, we didn't.
No, okay, so I'll just go over those really quick. Hold on, damn it, give me a second. Accidentally clicked on the wrong thing. Oh, there we go. There's a fantasy standings. As for the NWP Fantasy League, Sean 48 and Y is the points leader over Trevor Sports 98. In third is the NASCAR Bear. And then tied for P4 is Polish Victory Lap and Danny B Wife. Good job, Claudia. Good job. She's always consistently up there. And then as for NWP Fantasy League 2, we have JC underscore 43, Race Roar 48, 42 Larson 5, Common Chase L yet. And then at number 5, we have Hot Wheels. So yeah, thank you guys so much for playing. And now to the main event.
That's getting into the pick points. The leader of the pick points is the chat. With 3 Cup wins, 3 Xfinity Series wins, and 2 Truck Series wins, they have 301 points. In second is Eric, 6 points back with 2 Cup wins, 3 Xfinity Series wins, 1 Truck win. I am in third. I'm 49 points back. No Cup wins, 2 Xfinity Series wins, and 2 Truck wins. Jarrett is fourth, minus 52 back with 1 Cup win, 3 Xfinity wins, and 1 Truck win. Darian is Basement Boy, minus 57, 0 Cup wins, 4 Xfinity Series wins, and 1 Truck win.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Tyler Reddick, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. Really appreciate it. And Larson, too. Really appreciate it, too, bro. Well, I jinxed Larson, so never mind. Never mind.
Chat, you're still last, but go ahead and be thinking about who you want to be the truck winner. Eric, who do you think will be the truck winner?
I'm not too worried about where I stack up against the chat. It's a long season, and I'll admit I've been slacking off on my picks. I've not been putting in the necessary research the past few weeks. If those of you watch my channel, you'll notice I haven't been posting those fast forecast shorts the past month or so. Just got too busy, unfortunately. Hadn't had the time to put into them. You know, I shouldn't make excuses. I've just been lazy, and it's affecting me here on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. I'm not putting forth the effort I should be. That all changes this week. Corey Heim wins the truck race. It's Heim time, baby.
Heim time didn't work out too good for everyone last time, so I'm not going with Heim time. I'm going with Christian Eckes to win this weekend at Nashville.
I'm going with the truck that has been fourth or better in both races. races, whether it be the driver in it or not. Darian, I think you know who I'm going to pick based on that smile there. I'm going Zane Smith. That 38 truck has been bad fast, and if it wasn't for Ryan Preece, I think he might have won both of the last two races there.
So actually, Jarrett, I was laughing at this comment from Marky Mark. He says, Darian looks surprised that he's in last, LOL. And I was like, wow, well, thank you. Thank you very much. But I'm going to go with Zane Smith as well. Please, Zane Smith, help me. Help me.
The chat is following you guys. Following the Basement Boys, going with Zane Smith.
Yeah. Hey.
Follow me. They're about to lap me.
Yeah, I'll say I'm following them. How about that?
All right, so for the Xfinity Series win, Eric, who do you got?
For the Xfinity Series, I'm going with the car that dominated the last concrete track the Xfinity Series raced at. I think it's the last concrete track. Dover was the last concrete track? I think it was the last concrete track.
Yes.
The 19 car, which will this week be driven by Ty Gibbs.
Everyone who's picking Ty Gibbs, say aye.
Aye. Wow.
we all got Ty Gibbs. Yeah. That was when I started looking at the list, it was like Ty makes the most sense.
Yeah,
this list.
He was the first driver that stood out, and I didn't really see anybody else.
It's like I don't remember him being up there last year, but I'm sure he did fine. He's gonna do good this year. He's gonna win.
And it's I don't know. Actually, never mind. I don't think the chat's picking Ty. Oh no.
Oh, we kind of got a close one between the 7 and 19.
Oh,
let's watch this for a second. Let's watch this.
Ooh.
Take a look at what they're doing.
Take a look at what they did.
All right, I'm going to do a poll.
Yes, IDK. Gibbs is racing Saturday. Yes. No, Eric Almirola is not racing on Saturday, IDK.
All right, well, while we do that, who's going to suck?
Oh, let's get into that.
Cup race.
Who's going to suck, Eric?
I kind of just want to just take your pick. I feel like I picked this guy too much this year. I feel a little bad, but I've been picking on Penske. I'll go Cindric.
All right. I'm not picking on Penske. I'm picking on SHR, and I'm saying Chase Briscoe with my suck pick.
I better get this out again, because even though these cars looked great, he keeps running bad there. Not this guy. Different diecast. I almost picked out Kevin Harvick. No. I don't know where the hell I put it. Alex Bowman.
Hey, to be fair, he's crashed out of every Nashville race, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, and I also picked Alex Bowman as well for that same reason.
And the chat. Who are they
Looks
picking?
Like I see a couple for Briscoe.
Just give him one of them. Who cares?
Yeah.
It ain't for points anyway. It don't matter.
I see some 42s. Just give him Gregson, I guess. Give him Gregson. Why not?
Oh, here. Found it. There you go.
There it is. All right.
And I think they might have picked their Xfinity winner.
Oh, yeah.
I'll wait till they've got at least 105 votes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a good one.
I don't think, even if the next five people voted for
one
option, I don't think it would overcome the gap.
Yeah, it's closed. So, yeah.
I've still set the number.
It's, yep, okay, 105. There it is. There we go. 56%.
Yep. Stop the count.
Stop the count. But yeah, now Dark Horse, Eric.
My Dark Horse for the Cup race, I imagine other people will talk about this guy, so I'll let them talk about it. I don't want to stomp on their pick. I'll say Ryan Preece, though.
That's a good one. I really should have thought about that one. But my Cup underdog is who I've got winning on Saturday, Ty Gibbs.
McDowell supremacy. Michael McDowell has been quietly consistent, top 15-ish. On speed at Nashville, and I think he capitalizes on that. The summer of McDowell begins.
Yeah. Spencer Purcell in the chat says, we just lost the lead because of you, Chad.
I've got to have a little more faith than Justin Allgaier. Yeah. Didn't he win last year?
Well, hey, they went with Zane Smith, so.
Yeah. All right. So my underdog, Ty Gibbs, he's going to have, extra track time on Saturday and is going to greatly benefit him on Sunday.
Okay, well, I expected somebody else to say Preece. So my reasoning was he's dominated trucks here. I figure at least some of that's got to carry over the cup. Like, yeah.
A little bit.
Dark horse for a chat. I'm going to give him Bubba. I've seen 23 a lot.
Yeah. All right.
Bubba for the underdog. Eric, who's going to win?
And now, Eric, for the main event, who's going to win? Who's going to win at Nashville?
I went with a little bit of a wild card for my truck pick. I think I picked a pretty heavy favorite in Xfinity. For Cup, I'm going to go checkers or wreckers. I think Kyle Larson wins it. Hendrick has been the team to beat here the last 2 years. Larson specifically has finished first and fourth. So I'm going with Young Money.
Bear with me on this. We have seen Hendrick win this one 2 years in a row with two different drivers. We're going in order of number. 5 won it the first year, 9 won it the second year. 24, William Byron, I say, will win it this year. Alex Bowman will win it next year. They had a 4-year contract for National Super Speedway, and out you go when Bowman wins. We go to the fairgrounds.
I love that. I love that reasoning.
Yes.
I'll give some reasoning for why I agree with that pick. The first year they went there, Kyle Larson wins it. Second year, of course, Chase Elliott. Both of those were the fastest and the best drivers that year for Hendrick Motorsports. I think the trend continues with William Byron.
I'm going to stay in the Hendrick Motorsports camp as well, but I'm going with the odds-on favorite. I mean, he's been checkers or wreckers. Maybe this weekend will be checkers. Kyle Larson.
Chad's looking very Larson-oriented.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of 5 and not a lot of everything else.
Yeah. All right.
Fair enough.
Give him the 5.
Hey, Truex won Dover, which is a concrete track this year.
True. That is true. But
I don't really want to steal him on the Truex because Truex is a good pick.
Didn't he beat Larson? Who did he beat? I can't remember now.
Oh, at Dover?
Yeah. Wasn't it Chastain, I think, closing in on him?
Oh, well, yeah, Chastain.
Yeah. It was Chastain because he earlier in the race, he dumped Eric's boy there.
Funny. None of us ever really picked Chastain to win anymore, but mainly because he just doesn't close.
He doesn't win. He's got one top 10 since the talk.
Yeah, the talk.
I think you have a new talk and say, just go do good.
The talk. Yeah. Hendrick walked in. Son, we need to talk.
So do you know how wins get made?
Clean driving.
Not how you're doing it.
Oh, no, okay. No. Protective driving.
New talk for
practice safe racing.
safe racing. New, protective driving.
New talk. Walk in and say, are you winning, Russ?
Son, this is your steering wheel.
Oh, this is the gas. This is the brake.
Son, don't think with your gas pedal.
Ross, there are times when a young racer turns into a man. All right. Well,
thanks for watching, everybody.
Yeah.
Good. Y'all have a good one.
That's the front tonight. Go get us a W.
Hell yeah.
Ready. Turn.
What the f***? Copy.
Right,
down. We had to go plan. Unbelievable, man. Way to keep your head in this. Holy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I'm done with it.
It's your face.
That's
Steve, you look beautiful. You look great.
Ridiculous.